You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Our guest today is Andrew Morgans. Andrew, welcome.
Thank you.
I'm going to start out with a couple tough questions. We'll get easier from there. Why is Kansas City obsessed with t-shirts and what happens when we die? Go.
Okay.
Okay, wait. Hang on. Let me first introduce you properly. Our guest is Andrew Morgans. He's from here in Kansas City. He's got a great, compelling story, and there are a lot of things to talk about. Landlocked Kansas City, and you can find them online at landlockedco.com as they were a part of Barktoberfest, but we'll get to that. But first, Andrew, am I wrong in my perception that Kansas City is obsessed with t-shirts?
Well, I wouldn't say that you're wrong. I can't speak for all of Kansas City.
But compared to other markets,
we're very city obsessed.
Okay.
Like, it's more about city pride. And
yeah,
because of that, I think the city pride carries over to wearing something, a shirt or a hat that says, like, I'm about my city. I think Kansas City's, we've always felt like an underdog in, compared to other cities as far as like tech or innovation. We're just a small cow town, you know,
yeah,
in the middle of the Midwest.
Yeah, chip on our shoulder.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people from here are still proud of where we are, and they like to show that off and kind of show that, you know, I am from Kansas City and here's why. You know,
how long have you been here?
Well, that's a trick question.
Okay.
I've been here off and on since I was one.
Okay,
but I grew up in Africa.
Okay.
Yeah, until I was about 16, 2001.
Then,
yeah, I know. So I came back here in 01, and I graduated from Liberty High School in 04. So like 02 to 04.
Okay.
I went to Hawaii for 3.5 years.
Okay.
Started college out there and then came back here in 07. I've been here since 07.
You lived in Africa. Do you know Dave Matthews?
No.
Okay. You lived in Hawaii. Do you know Barack Obama?
No.
Okay. You know of those guys?
Yes.
Okay. So since you were in high school, have you noticed the Kansas City pride swell or increase since then? I mean, is it just the Royals? Is it the Google stuff? Is it the improvements of the city? Can you put your finger on it?
Well, I think fiber does play a big role. I think I started noticing it more. Like, I fell in love with the city when I moved downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up in the suburbs, like, this was always home. This is where my family was. But I wasn't, like, in love with the city. And then probably, like, 4 years ago, I moved downtown and really just got a new love for the city, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So many little places to go, things to do, places I had never heard of, you know, and just started exploring personally.
Sure. I need to maybe go back. And the reason I'm asking Andrew, the reason I'm asking you about t-shirts is because Landlock KC, you guys do a line of Kansas City shirts.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's where that comes from. Talk about the t-shirt game in Kansas City has to be a tough one to get into, right?
Yeah, it is. It's kind of competitive. You know, obviously there's several brands that all kind of compete in the same space. And really, like, this is one of my first entrepreneurial ideas. I hadn't, like, thought everything out. Sure. You know, I was just sitting at a, I was going to a Royals playoff game, and the Chiefs were on at the same time. So we were, like, tailgating for the Royals, but watching the Chiefs from a tailgate in the parking lot. And I saw these guys wearing, like, a Royals jacket with like a Chiefs shirt underneath. And I was just had this clever idea, like, I'm going to do a shirt of both teams.
Yeah.
And so the hybrid came out, and within a few weeks, like Arrowhead Pride, which is like an offspin of ESPN, retweeted it. And then kind of the brand just became what it is today. But really it was just a normal guy's idea in a parking lot.
Yeah. But you're a graphic designer. Right?
Okay, so no, that's not true
either. Is that right?
I guess it can be a little confusing.
Okay.
I run a company called Marknology.
Okay.
And we specialize in launching brands online.
Okay, so you're not a graphic designer.
No.
So that shirt, because I'm always like, I could never design a shirt. I'm not a graphic designer. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you came up with the idea and somebody designed it? Or
yes.
Did you sketch it out or
so
what?
I'm a very creative person, but I'm not a designer. So I used to write music before I got out of college and toured playing music and
with Dave Matthews? No.
No. Okay. I wish. He plays all by himself, I think, right?
Well, yeah, he's done some stuff, but yeah.
Okay.
One of my favorite, right, remember Dave Matthews, Tim Reynolds? They did that duo acoustic stuff. Remember that?
Yeah,
that
just not even close to that.
Okay.
I'm not even close
not
to that.
Not that type of music?
No,
okay,
I'm a writer. I can't sing or do anything like that.
Okay.
So basically, I just had this idea in my head, and then I found an artist to come help me develop it. And that's kind of always how I've worked, is just like, I can see the vision and then I'll talk to someone that can help.
Collaboration.
Make it a reality. Yeah, collaboration.
Now, I want to talk, because this podcast really stemmed from a horrible bet I made. I made a bet that I could dunk a basketball within a year for $1,000. Now, I've never been able to dunk before, but you and I were talking here at the radio stations one day, and come to find out you have a similar story. Now, you don't have the idiot move of betting $1,000, but you have a similar, you had a goal. And you achieved it, right?
Yes. And if I wouldn't call it an idiot goal of
$1,000,
because I'd be excited if it was my
bet. Why I put $1,000 on it, the only reason I have the $1,000 bet is because I feel like I need that motivation.
No, I understand.
I mean, I've always wanted to dunk, but I've never had the motivation to really, really attempt it. But you had a similar goal, right? Tell me.
Yeah, so I was in Hawaii, and I've always played basketball, like, as long as I can remember. And I was in Hawaii, and there was an outdoor court. I made new friends there, and I was playing. And I think the goal was actually a little short, like 9'10" or something. So an inch and a half short, you know, 10 feet. And I was close to dunking. And I was just like, in Hawaii, there's a lot of like Polynesians and Filipino. And I was tall, you know, I was tall, relatively tall. I'm almost 6'3". And so in that group of friends, I was kind of the big guy, and I was like, I want to be able to dunk. So I went to the gym, hired a trainer, and started, you know, I said I wanted to know how to jump a little bit higher, and we started training.
Now, you didn't have the amount of space to make up that I have to make up, right?
Yeah.
You were fairly close.
I mean, if you think, you know, you got the size of the ball, you got the rim is a little bit short, and I was close to dunking at 9'10"
Yeah.
So I still had to dunk at 9'10" then I still had to dunk at 10 feet, and then you know, the size of the ball to get over the rim. So I still had a ways to go, honestly.
Okay, so you hire a trainer. How long did it take you?
I would say, like, I was getting, it might have been like 4 months, but I was still playing like every day. It wasn't like I didn't play basketball and then I was just trying to dunk. Like I was playing, so like I would go to the gym and do the stuff he was telling me to do, the moves, and then I would go out and play and try, you know, a couple times a night.
Okay. So, I like this story. It's encouraging me because this has been an emotional roller coaster. I have until October 2nd, but it's been 2 months, right? And I was feeling down. The other day, I thought, what if I do this? I'll just give up and go find somebody to make a bet where I gain 100 pounds in a year for $1,000. And I would just use that to pay. Right. And So I really was down about it, but your story is giving me some hope.
Yes.
And I don't want to give up yet, but I mean, man, so I got lucky. I have a buddy. He has a physical therapy place like out by 100 and Metcalf, just over there. It's called Sports Spine. They're a physical therapy place, right? But that tells you what kind of shape I'm in. I need a physical therapist. There's people in there that have been, you know, in car wrecks and have had actual injuries. And here I am starting from my baseline. But we're doing box jumps. I started doing box jumps.
Smart.
And my stomach hurt. Like my abs were so sore. My wife had to help me out of a chair afterwards. I've been doing blood flow restrictions on my thighs.
Okay.
So they'll put, I don't even know what it is. It's some high tech machine and I'm doing squats. Were box jumps? I mean, what were you doing?
The only thing different I did, I think you're right on the right path, is a box jump can be, I guess it can be any size,
yeah,
right? It can be high. And if you want to look at my Instagram, you can see me really jump on there. But I started with like little ones that were like maybe 2 inches tall, those little ones.
Yeah.
And I would just on and off. And then we did lots of calf stuff, a lot of calf work.
Okay.
So, you know, just on, you get the bar on your shoulders and you know, you're lifting up with your calves inside, outside.
Yeah.
And so we would do calf work. We would do explosive jumps. So like kind of like have that weight and then jump with it on there.
Okay.
Jump with it on there.
Okay.
In a controlled way where you're not like, you know, hurting yourself. But, I remember doing lots of calf work and jumping on and off that little, like, you know, 4-inch box,
starting there and then raised
just
it
on and off, so it's not a complete jump,
yeah,
like a big box jump. It's just like on off real fast,
a lot of times, like 100 sets,
yeah,
of 100,
like 100 times. It's, it's just a lot of calf work, but it's not, each jump is not exhausting, so like you're getting the stomach soreness. That's probably because it's a bigger box.
Yeah, it was. And so I was doing like little sets of 30 tiny little rabbit hops off of it and then going and jumping on it. And it's so much higher. He said that the guys, Drew and Ethan over there, have been messing with my ankle. I need more mobility in my ankle.
Mm-hmm.
So they're working on that, which involves a lot of stretching of my ankle because it doesn't have full range. And he's also like, you got to lose weight, which is not.
I mean, that just helps.
Yeah, just lighten the load.
That just helps. But I have a friend, I'm going to give him a plug. His name is Bobby. And we play in a league. And he's probably got, I don't know, I want to be generous, but maybe like 60 pounds on me. And he just dunked easily the other
day.
So he's a pretty big boy and like he just dunked regardless of the weight. So
I don't
even know if it's a weight thing.
I don't know if I can do it, but I the thing is, like I said, it's an emotional roller coaster. Some days I want to completely give up. I really would love, it's a bucket list thing. And at least if I try, I feel like it's a win-win-win. Even if I lose the $1,000, at least I'm a year healthier.
Yeah.
I mean,
here's the trick. This is what I really think.
Please, this is why you're here.
It's a mind game.
Okay.
Okay. It's 100% a mind game.
Okay.
You don't want people watching you fail, like, you know, when you're doing it, even. And like, for me, I can still dunk now. Like, I have a little brother from Big Brother, Big Sister.
Okay.
And the other day I got a dunk with him, like in a game. It was super cool. We were at the gym on a Saturday, like 3-on-3, and he just gave me this pass. He plays football at Kearney. And, I just got a dunk on this guy and I was like pumped up, you know, like just
great,
like, yeah, this feels awesome. And that doesn't happen often, like in the game, you know?
Sure.
But like that usually comes like after I've played a little bit. So like we played a game or two and like you're talking about, your ankles are like tight and you got to do all this stretching. Like I cannot walk on the court. I'm not 20 years old.
Right.
I can't walk on the court and just dunk. But if I've played a game or two, it's almost like stretching a lot, you know, I'm like loosened up, then it's there.
Okay.
So what I would suggest is like get loose, play a game of 21 or whatever if you're playing with some guys, you know, get kind of loosed up. And then like start with a goal that's not straight at 10 foot. Get a little mental confidence. Like get one of those adjustable goals somewhere, like a park that has a little bit shorter rim. And, you know, start at 9'6", get a first dunk with a real basketball or something like that, you know. I have to dunk with two hands. I can't
dunk.
You do?
Yeah, really?
I can't dunk with one hand.
Do you jump off both feet?
Yes. I need like one step.
You need one step and you can dunk. And you're only 6'3".
Yeah.
This gives me hope. If nothing else, you've given me hope. And I still have 10 months.
You got time.
I don't know, man. I really.
Because like if you can start at like 9'6", right?
Right.
And then you're like, okay, I got this. Like, oh my God, I still got 6 more inches. But then you're getting 9'7".
Right.
Right.
I only need an inch a month or something like that.
Exactly. Break it down a little bit.
I mean, listen, if I didn't have. So the guys at Sport Spine, hooked me up with an app called Kinexit, and we did a bunch of tests, and then they put it in the app, the results of your test, and it makes a 3D avatar, and then it adjusts workouts to what you need to do to get to your specific goal.
What? That sounds amazing.
It's in beta.
Yeah.
If I didn't have these guys helping me out, if I didn't have this app, there's no way. There's no way. But I at least I have a shot. I don't know. And your story, the fact that you said, because you were older when you decided you wanted to dunk.
Yeah.
Right? You weren't 16. You weren't. Right?
I was out of high school.
Okay. So that gives me hope. I don't know, man. And I do like, because I was talking to somebody about it earlier, it's a mental, a lot of it's mental.
100%.
Whether it's forcing myself to go work out or just believing I can do it. Right?
Yeah. I think you got to like, you need to practice dunking even if you're failing a lot more often than you probably are.
Okay.
So don't just be like, okay, I've trained for a month and I'm going to go try to dunk. Like,
right.
You need to kind of like, as part of your training, be attempting.
Right. Oh, really?
So you get comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be comfortable failing. You need to be comfortable hitting the rim. You need to be comfortable like jumping.
Okay. I did. I have, let's talk about, because you did show on your Instagram a video of you dunking. And your Instagram is crazy. So I want to go there next. Because not only do you have a crazy amount of followers, but the stuff you put on there is nuts. You dunking, is this you doing like pull-ups at some like bonfire
thing?
Okay,
I was at the Full Moon Festival in Thailand, and I think that post is about, I had stem cell this year on my shoulder for a torn labrum from
what?
Volleyball.
No.
Yeah, so I tried stem cell. It's really awesome.
They're injecting stem cells into your shoulder, right? Is that how it works?
They pull it from your own body.
Oh.
And then they spin it down and then, you know, tweak it.
It
I don't
works
really know.
Really
I'm not going to
well,
speak for
right?
a doctor. Yeah. So,
could I inject stem cells into my legs and my ankles?
Yes.
Would that help?
Yes.
Would that be better than illegal steroids?
I'm not answering this question.
That's fair. So stem cells, how do you get hooked up with somebody that's, I mean, that's kind of a new technology,
yeah,
right?
It's a new technology, and I actually have a friend, they work at Mobus Bio.
Okay.
Out here in Overland Park area, and I went in, got some x-rays, saw I had a pretty big tear, and just moved forward with it, and it's super awesome. It's what the athletes use, you know, to recover faster. They're not tearing out any muscles, and
wow.
Yeah, I'm already playing basketball. I think I had my second procedure like 4 weeks ago.
Did they say this helped you avoid a surgery then?
Yeah, so it's like a surgery alternative. It's faster. It's, you know, they're not cutting you. It was still pretty painful, pretty successful. So yeah, that's what's happening on the video. I was basically at this party in Thailand on the beach. It's a Full Moon Festival. They have it like once a month. This was the big one of the year. And they had all these like fire hoops and fire jump ropes and like all these competitions happening on the beach just for
and you
like,
couldn't help yourself.
I couldn't help myself.
Even though you shouldn't have.
Yeah, so I shouldn't have done it. It was actually like before I had the surgery, but I still had a lot of pain.
Wow.
But I just couldn't get in the ones with the fire. Like, people were actually getting burnt in Thailand. Like, they were like walking away with burns. But
we talked a little bit when you were here last time, just meeting about Instagram. Now you have 11,000 plus followers and only 181 posts. Now, these posts are amazing, but it seems like a lot of followers for so few posts.
Right. I mean, that's a good point. So some of it is that I don't just like to throw up a lot of selfies, you know, constantly.
Yeah.
And so I really, truth be told, I need to be taking a lot more photos and posting more often. I won't back that up. But sometimes scheduling the shoots, I'm a busy entrepreneur, and like scheduling shoots to get these photos, you know, to be able to post more, different things like that, just kind of goes down the totem pole.
Wait, so you're not just taking regular photos? Is that what your suggestion is for somebody like, I don't know, me, that wants to improve their Instagram game? Professional photo shoots that you post on?
Okay, so there's, I mean, everyone has their own strategy.
Okay.
And 11,000 followers in Kansas City is pretty good. Yes. Anywhere else, it's like, eh.
Sure.
Okay. And part of that is, you know, being the owner of an apparel brand, being an entrepreneur. I think that's where, you know, a lot of the following comes from. People like to follow the journey.
Yeah.
But really, like, you should be sticking to a schedule. You know, if you want a little Instagram advice.
Yes, please.
Okay.
We do.
So you should be like sticking to a schedule, you know, so that your followers are seeing regular posts. One of my strategies is to post less often, but you get more likes, because instead of going picture, 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 yeah. picture, like, people that see it, like, you know, that picture is acquiring more likes before you move on. So that's been one of my strategies. I post to my story all the time.
Okay.
So I'm still giving my users like content, like they follow me throughout the day all the time. And I get a lot of views there, and a lot of interaction with my followers through my story.
But when you have a high quality piece of content, that's on your picture, but there's a lot of lesser quality, not necessarily less quality, but, for lack of a better term, lesser quality stuff in
less
your
curated.
Story.
Less yeah. curated. Yeah. yeah. It's like more of like the raw behind the scenes. I think that's why it's interesting, because, me and my team, whether it's Mark Knowledge or Landlacked, we're always doing fun stuff. And people like to see that.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
people,
like, I'm not going to Thailand.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I do have the opportunity to do some cool stuff. There's no doubt. So, but how to 11,000? Just, you can't, that can't be just from the quality of your photos.
No, it's not just the quality. And I think, going back to your point about like the amount of pictures and posts that I've made, for me, it's kind of like Landlacked. I've never been one to just like push out stuff. It's yeah. been like, if I like this, or I'm like, this is the one, or I'm not, you know, saying every picture I've posted is the one,
no,
right?
No,
but
no,
like,
no.
If I'm just like about something, whether it's a design, whether it's yeah. like a post, then I'm like, I'm going to post. I don't just post a post,
okay.
you know, or I don't just put out designs to put out designs. It's always been one that I feel good about.
Okay. I mean, you're at like, what is that, Machu Picchu or something? Is that you?
Yeah,
where is
so
that?
I went
that's
to
not...
Belize in Guatemala.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the Tikal ruins.
Yeah, the Tikal ruins. And
yeah,
here's a picture
amazing.
Of me at the Uptown Theater. I mean, right? It's tough.
It is tough. But like, I chose, I guess, to started my own company, Marknology, which is we launch brands online, like I said. And that's part of the reason, going back to your question about how you can succeed with a t-shirt company in Kansas City. I think that Landlocked's grown specifically because of our skills online.
Mm.
And so whereas everyone's competing for wholesale space in Kansas City, we are in stores, you know, like Made in KC and KC Garment stuff. But we've also just like continued, as some brands have come and gone, we continue to sell online to people in Florida, people in Texas that love Kansas City, I've shipped stuff to Australia,
nice.
People that love Kansas City. So that's kind of how we've been able to thrive, I think, in a tough market. But the same thing with the traveling. Okay, so bringing it back full circle,
yes.
like Belize and Guatemala and Thailand and Europe, which has all happened in the last 12 months, which is pretty awesome. But I can work while I'm traveling.
Right.
So nothing really slows down for me other than, you know, the cost to get there. But I just working while I'm traveling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm able to do that.
So talk to me about Marknology. It's a marketing company.
Right.
Right. Do you have like a elevator speech, or do you have a difference maker? Because certainly in a town like this, the number of marketing companies is crazy.
Right. So we're not just a marketing company. I started in corporate. I got really good at selling on Amazon. And then I started freelancing. I kind of blew up online and in the freelance space, like Elance and Upwork. And then my business kind of just took off. But the elevator pitch is we launch brands on Amazon.
So like if I have a product to sell, I would come to you.
Yes.
You're not like, we're going to do a whole marketing campaign, right, with different mediums. You're like, specifically, we want your item, your widget, to sell well on Amazon.
Yeah, so that's where we start.
That's your specialty. Okay,
and we've worked with local brands like Faultless, Modigliani, Helio, lots of different brands locally. The Made in KC stores, you know, we sell all of their products on Amazon. We've helped launch them. And I think I'm allowed to say that,
yeah,
but
<okay.
laughs> I think there's no problem there. But so we help get your products on Amazon, but there's a whole strategy around it, you know, from photography to advertising to the way that we're writing the listings, like SEO. Amazon can be very complicated, but very lucrative.
Yeah.
So we just like, instead of letting you make mistakes, right? We just help you get there and then be successful. And then we also tie in social media and websites.
Sure.
So if the brand starts being successful on Amazon, typically they want a website, and social media is just a free way to advertise a lot of times.
Is Amazon as wonky with their algorithms and their, you know, usage as Facebook might be.
100%.
Oh, are they? They're changing. I hear about it at Facebook all the time because that's a bigger part of what we do. But Amazon's messing with stuff.
100%. And that's why, you know, we're the experts.
Yeah.
It's like staying on top of the algorithms and all the changes. And like I've made social media kind of just as much of a point. Like I consider myself a subject matter expert when it comes to Amazon.
Okay.
Like, ask me a question. I'm ready to go. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, so, but social media, I'm not there yet. So, different members of my team, myself, we've been studying social media really hard. Just not an area that we started with becoming
sure.
experts in, but I really feel like you have to be if you're going to stay relevant.
Yeah. Okay. I want to talk to you more real quick about, you said you were in a band. Right? And you toured? Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's been a long time ago. But when I came back from Hawaii, I tried out for a band here in Kansas City called Our Last Chance.
Okay.
And over the next probably 5 years, we just grew and started playing. We toured with some Tooth and Nail bands, nothing huge. Had label offers that sucked, you know, so we never took those. But we did travel all over the country and got to play. We used to play to, I don't know, 300 or 400 kids locally.
Sure.
With different bands. But I am well connected, and a lot of them are entrepreneurs now. But I'm well connected with people from that music scene that have, you know, grown up here in Kansas City.
Right. So did you enjoy that time? Do you look back and go, man, I wish we could have made that work? Or is that like a, oh, that was fun?
It was, that was fun.
Yeah.
Like, I love playing so much. And if I hadn't done the touring and stuff, I wouldn't know that I hate touring life. I just hate being broke, and I hate living in a van. And,
right.
You know, even if you're touring with a bigger band, it's still pretty rough.
What'd you play?
I play bass.
Gosh. So I've been sucking at guitar for like 3 years too.
Yeah.
So I'm just, so let's go to.
We got to work with your mindset. That's what we got to work with immediately.
Well, so on one of the earlier episodes of this podcast, I talked to a kid that's like a championship speed cuber.
Oh yeah.
And that's something I've always wanted to do, and I can do it now. I mean, I still have some notes here and there, but I feel like that's one small mountain. I need to accomplish things. And I think there's some snowball effect, right? So let's talk about that. Talk to me about goals. Like, you know, you certainly are going to have goals for your clients,
mm-hmm.
right? If somebody comes to you and say, I want to sell this on Amazon, you're going to set goals. But from your own personal goal setting mindset, do you have a process there? Do you have one big goal in a timeline? Do you set little goals? What can you talk to me about that?
Yeah, so I'm very goal oriented.
Okay.
Like, and I'm very competitive as a person.
Sure.
In almost every aspect of my life. And honestly, I'm intelligent, but I'm not very talented. Okay. And you might argue with me, but really what I'm trying to say is that it's come more out of competitiveness to want to do those things or be able to do those things than it has just raw talent. Like, bass guitar. Like, I'm not super musically inclined. I can't just like hear a song and know exactly what they're playing. Like, it's come out of practice. Same thing with, that's going to be a joke. Someone's going to laugh at that. Practice. What are we talking about? And then, you know, basketball, you know, I trained to be able to dunk, but before that I was learning how to play. I never played in high school. So I was coming out of Africa, you know, learning how to play. And, so many things in life, like I've just, it's become work ethic, and I like, that's awesome. I grew up with this perspective in countries where people had nothing and no opportunity. And then I'm in America. I'm in the United States, the greatest country on earth. I know we have our flaws, but
sure.
Like, it is a land of opportunity. And it's like, really, if you work hard at anything, you can get it. Okay.
Sure.
So like, I know that's broad, but like, you dial it down to small goals.
So like, let's take Landlocked.
Yeah.
Right. It's a newer company. Do you have like 6 month goals? Do you have like goals? I don't know what it would, if it would be a sales goal that doesn't have a timeline. Do you have a time? I mean, what's that look like?
Yeah. So Landlocked, so we probably set a 6-month and 12-month goal, you know, whether it's acquiring wholesalers, whether it's reaching an amount of sales, whether it's like simple stuff as far as organization or collection releases, or we want to have 4 collection releases next year, or, you know, smaller goals like that. We sit down and brainstorm all the time. I've got whiteboards written mm-hmm. up all over the place. Personal goals, I'm very much like, this is what I'm trying to accomplish this year. You know, I have personal goals.
So you'll have like New Year's is coming up.
Yeah.
So you'll have like a written things that Andrew's going to do in 2018.
100%.
Really?
Yeah.
How long is that list?
Is
it like 30? Is it 5?
It's probably around 20. I like to shoot big.
Okay.
And then like if I accomplish 15, like that's winning, right? Versus someone might be like, I want to lose weight. Well, you need to set a goal. Like
quantifiable.
Quantifiable. Yes. Otherwise, you're just reaching for nothing.
Right.
You know, if it's like, I want to be healthier. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean like, you know, overall eating one healthy meal a day, you know, help better than what you're doing? Or does that mean like exercising a little bit more? Right. You got to be specific. Like, and you set real goals like that. I think it's all about habits. That's what people need to talk about. It has less about like what exercises you're doing in the gym. It has less to do about what books you're reading specifically or this or that. It has to do with just creating a habit, and the habit creates the result.
Right.
So if you can just create the habit, whether you're doing it amazing or not, going to the gym, you know.
Well, on some level, how much of that is the 10,000 hour rule, right? You know, with the, if you play bass, once you get to, you can only help but be better after 5,000 hours.
Right. 100%. Right.
So that happened. And I think you're right. I mean, that's part of my problem, you know, and I think I stretch myself too thin sometimes. Like I want to do so many things that it's hard. You know, I jump around. And so I'll go in a streak where I'll play the guitar for, you know, a week, every day for a week, you know, and then I won't pick it up.
Well, you got to, I'm sorry, I hit the mark, but you got to say like, instead of just being like, I want to be good at guitar, you know, it's easier to set a goal that's like, I want to learn one new song a month.
Oh, nice.
Right. And then
quantifiable.
And then at the end of the year, you've learned, you know, a dozen songs. And those songs like all work together. Like you probably learned something in each song that will help you on the next song. Right.
Right.
So at the end of the day, you're like, yeah, a dozen more songs this year than I did last year.
I love it. No, you're right. So I certainly have a quantifiable goal to dunk. I have a date. You know, and I think you're right about the habits now. To get there, I can't just, now I just have a goal. I got to figure out my steps.
What are your steps? Just, and that's what I'm talking about, like starting at 9.6, starting at 9.7. Like,
right.
You know, you.
So then you maybe do this. So those quantifiable goals, but now I have steps. Dunk at 9.6 by the end of December.
There you go.
And then, and raise that goal, whatever the math would be, 2 inches by the end of the year. That would help.
I really think that's going to be the game changer.
So that I could adjust if I need, oh, I'm not getting there. I need to pick up the pace or I'm on pace.
Do you even know where you're at right now?
I don't. See? I'm afraid.
There you go.
I'm afraid to even try.
Feel the fear and do it anyway.
I know. That's, put that on a t-shirt, dude. That's good. Did you make that up?
No, it's from Walmart, but it is tattooed on me.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay. Real quick, I want a couple more things. So you lived in Africa. I need to know about that just a little bit. Like, what's your elevator speech on living in Africa?
Well, I usually avoid the subject because it's just like there's so much to say.
Yeah,
you know, people don't really understand.
South Africa?
No. So my parents are missionaries. They taught English and like kind of did aid work. And it was Cameroon when I was real young, and then Botswana kind of like 9-10, and then Congo until I was 16, like the Democratic Republic of the Congo.
Wow.
At that time, it was the most dangerous country in the world before 9/11. So I was in Congo during 9/11. But a very, like, it's kind of crazy to talk about. It was super awesome, super, like, there's so many great things to say about it, like the perspective I was given. And, you know, I've always been raised to be thankful. It's, like, natural in me just from having seen those things, which creates happiness. I think if you're thankful, you're happy. Like,
right.
In life. Man. And, but I also saw some crazy things. I was there during a coup and an evacuation.
Well, who was the leader? The guy was, I forget the leader's name of...
Mobutu?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so he was out when I was there.
Okay.
But he had just got out, and it was Kabila, President Kabila.
Was there a guy named General Butt Naked?
Not
Congo?
That I know of in Congo.
No, there was. I can't remember the guy's... It was General Butt Naked. I don't know, but supposedly... he would fight naked.
I believe it. They were crazy.
So I can't hit General Butt Naked. He,
what year are we looking at?
Oh, Liberia. It was Liberia.
Okay.
He was born in 71. He was, the commander of the Liberian warlord, Roosevelt Johnson, early 90s.
Okay.
In the Liberian Civil War. Okay, so
I was
not
pretty
the Congo.
Young then. Yeah, yeah. And Congo is so war torn, and I love Africa. You got to know that. But they're right in the middle, and they have a rainforest, you know, a huge jungle, and so all the countries around them, whenever they go to war, and then the armies that lose, they run into the Congo,
right,
to hide and fight out of
wow.
there.
So, so
it just creates a very like. Tumultuous place, and there's so many resources there. From you know, you go to any diamond store, and there's you ask them where it's from, they're gonna say Congo, probably.
Now, how much, if I walked into your house right now, how much African culture would I experience or recognize?
You're gonna see some in my room, some in my office. I've got you know some paintings and stuff, but ultimately, I've tried as I've gotten older, I've turned more into a minimalist, and so I don't have a lot of just like things.
Stuff.
Yeah, I'm not really about that.
Yeah. I mean, do you like how many times a year in Kansas City are you going to eat an African meal?
I'm not.
You're not?
No.
Because you're not into it? Or
well,
because
I guess
it's
if I have chicken and I also have rice, then I'm having
okay,
an African meal.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
I don't imagine myself, this is me just being straight up Kansas, ever traveling to Africa.
Yeah.
Right? Is that a reasonable thought? I mean, it would be difficult.
It would be difficult. It's expensive.
Okay.
But if you want to see, if you want to like go to another planet, you don't have to go to space.
Right.
You can just go to Africa.
It's radically different.
Yeah. What and every story. Country, okay. Every country is different. It's just like when people from, let's say Europe think about United
Kansas,
States,
yeah.
you know, and I'm like, do you realize that every state here, there's a reason Americans don't travel as much. Some people haven't even been to California.
Right.
Like, every state is so different. Like some are similar, but like, you know, you talk about Connecticut versus California versus the
right.
Midwest.
Well, you could go from the Bronx to outside of Austin, Texas, two radically different places.
Almost like a different country. You go to Europe and you're on a train and you're in like a new country in 3 hours. Or, I don't think a lot of people don't get that perspective that like, oh yeah, like Switzerland's got it all together or something. And I'm like, that's a tiny country. It'd be like Lee Summit, you know, getting their
oh,
act
really?
Together or something,
okay,
you know,
yeah.
like Belize is 300,000 people.
Wow.
Right. Okay. And they're like, they're all about nature and they've got a lot of good things in place. And I'm like, yeah, but that's like the size of Kansas City. Like it'd be like as if Kansas City got their act together and then got to make laws, you know?
Right.
You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, it's just not the same, guys. Like
sure.
the United States is huge. And so, same thing with Africa. I mean, I've seen it said that even like on a map, Africa is not proportionally correct. Like it's way bigger than it is on a globe.
Really?
Okay. Like in landmass.
But it's big enough that you could go way to the northern tip, well, like Morocco, right?
Oh, is yeah.
That,
completely
it's
going to
be completely different from the Congo or Liberia, and let alone the other side.
Yeah, that's why when
Africa.
People meet me and they're like, are you from South Africa? It's because, you know, there's
you
a lot of white Africans in South Africa.
Yeah,
like
Dave Matthews.
Afrikaans, yeah.
yeah.
So, but they're completely different. You know, like every South Africa, I came out of Congo in 01 in Christmas, December 24th. And I landed in Johannesburg and I was in absolute culture shock. Like I went to the mall. I felt like I'd only been in Congo like a little less than 4 years, but it felt like a lifetime. Because you're just in this other world, you know,
wow.
and so you come out of that. And I was sitting in the mall like, what is going on? And that was in Johannesburg, Africa. It was like culture shock before I even landed in the States.
Right. That's
so.
In the same country.
Yeah.
When does your book come out?
To be determined.
Real, are you writing one?
You but should. I just have so many topics I want to write
right,
about, you know,
you should.
I've been pushing my parents to start a book and then kind of said like I would jump in, but I don't know if they'll ever make that happen.
I mean, dude, I could talk to you for hours and hours. I'll let you go at this point because you are an entrepreneur and I'm sure you have rims to dunk on and t-shirts to design. Let's real quick talk one more time about Landlocked KC. You can find it online, landlockedco.com. But what's your elevator speech on that? I have the pennant shirt.
Okay.
Which I love. What else makes your company stand out?
Okay. So I think something makes us stand out is we're local. Okay. Not just local designs, but it's local artists. We print locally. The only thing we don't do is like the shirts come from somewhere else. And we're actually trying to work on that to get those locally too. It's just hard to get manufacturing here in Kansas City. So we keep it all local. And it started out as just, you know, the hybrid design being like, you know, Kansas City, the pennants.
Yeah.
But it's evolved from that. And it started with kind of some sports during that run. And then as it's evolved, I was just like, let's just, you know, it's about city pride, and it's evolved, you know, and I think that's okay to say, like, our mission statement wasn't exactly the same when we started as what it is now. To me now, it's more about Landlocked being a Kansas City company of Kansas Citians. It's made up of Kansas Citians. And so, like, we've released the Equality Collection recently, and that was just me really wanting to send a message about what I'm about. And I think people get on with, like, it's not just, I'm not making clothes for other people. I mean, I am, but really it's about, like, what am I into? What do I like? What, as a Kansas Cityan, you know, what do I want to, what message do I want to send in whatever way that is? Like, Mo made, you know, Missouri made. Like, I'm proud to be from here when I've been all over the world. Like, I'm proud, that's awesome. You know, like, I'm proud of this place. Been a lot of places, and there's just something about Kansas City. I absolutely love it. I remember watching football games at 8 a.m. in Hawaii at a bar, you know, with my dad. Because we want to get up and watch the Chiefs, even though there's a 4-hour time difference, you know, sometimes 5-hour time difference. So we'd be up at 7 watching the game. I've watched Kansas City football in Congo, you know, so it's like, it's always been my connection to home, kind of, you know, even though I was abroad. And, you know, the Equality Collection is, it's not sport related. And I think that we're making moves into different areas about that. And it's just more about the people here. And I want to say, like, we're not behind the times. You know, we're relevant, and this is what we're about, and kind of give a little voice to normal people.
I love it. I love it. Real quick, where are your parents now?
My parents are here in Kansas City.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know if they were or not. Yeah. So Andrew Morgans with an S on Instagram. Marknology, by the way, if you need some e-commerce help, they can do it there as well. MarknologY.com. I assume we can find you on Facebook and Twitter on the same search, the same stuff. Yeah. Right. Real quick, my final two questions are, give me a book. I don't care if you like it, dislike it, name a book.
How to Be a Badass.
That's a newer one, right?
Yeah. Is that? A lady wrote it, and you'll have to forgive me. I'm not known for being super great with names. But How to Be a Badass, I read that recently. And it's really hard for me to fit in books sometimes.
Yeah.
But I try to get them in as often as I can. And this one is just about channeling your inner badass, and it gives you confidence to pursue new things, just like you're doing with the Rubik's Cube or the guitar or the basketball. So it's like,
I need that. It's attitude.
The point of the book is, like, she's read a ton of self-help books, and she kind of, like, consolidates them into one great idea. Super easy to read.
You Are a Badass, How to Stop Doubting Your Greatness and Start Living an Awesome Life.
Yes.
Jen Sincero.
That's her. She also has ones about business and a few others.
You Are a Badass at Making Money. Now, give me one song. Like, what are you listening to right now? If you had to go play one song in your car when you leave, what song?
Name I don't know how much flack I'm going to get for
it's
this.
Fine,
but probably, like, Selfish by P&B Rock.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm relating to that song lately.
I love it. It was an honor to meet you. I could talk to you for, you got so many stories. The weird thing is, you've got amazing stories, but I feel like we're similar in a lot of ways.
Yes.
I mean, I think I said this last time you were here. You're like the cool younger brother that I want to grow up to be. You have cool tattoos and a cool beard. I can't grow a beard. I have one really lame tattoo. You can dunk, I can't, but someday with a better attitude, I'll grow up to be Andrew Morgans. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me on the show.
It was my pleasure. BG Dunks 2018 is the hashtag that you can use online. Thank you for listening, and find me online at 997thepoint.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.